DW Africa Link.
Zimbabwe's most wanted political fugitive, according to Zimbabwe Republic Police, a war veteran long in hiding, has resurfaced in a recorded video calling for nationwide protests on March 31st. His message of unity is shaking the political landscape. Is this a rallying cry for change or a challenge to those in power? With tensions rising, we break down what this means for Zimbabwe's future. Stay tuned. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Blessed Geza, a war veteran from Zimbabwe's liberation era, when fighters became enduring symbols of national sacrifice, has re-emerged as a political activist calling for unity and protest. His background gives him credibility among those who view the liberation struggle as foundational, while his recent activism challenges the established political order by resonating with those marginalized by current policies. Although his supporters see him as a reminder of heroic sacrifice and a rallying call for national dignity, his detractors argue that his involvement politicizes a legacy that should remain above party politics. Zimbabwe is currently filled with discussions about the planned anti-government protests scheduled for March 31, 2025. Blessed Geza says one of the aims is to oppose President Emmerson Mnangagwa's alleged attempts to extend his term beyond 2028. He claims that all progressive elements support this action. However, the likelihood of these protests faces significant challenges considering the pattern of police brutality in the country. Joining me for this discussion is DW's Columbus Mavunga in Harare and political analyst and researcher Takura Jangaja. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. I'll start with you, Columbus, as our correspondent on the ground. Can you just tell us more about this war veteran and why he's calling for protests?
I think this war veteran on the side of President Emmerson Mnangagwa during the November 2017 coup, and then I think along the way he felt they fell apart, and he's accusing President Emmerson Mnangagwa of not addressing the issues of corruption and the economy. So he's now calling for Mnangagwa to step down, and also he wants the protest start on March 31 so that President Mnangagwa can give in and pave in for Vice President Constantino Chiwenga.
All right. Now, Takura, to you as a political analyst and a researcher, what can you tell us more about these protests? As an analyst, do you think they are justified, or in a way also just asking Zimbabweans to probably rally behind his own agenda?
Well, I don't think any conversations around protests or any change of government at the moment is fundamentally popular in Zimbabwe, and that in the majority of cases, Zimbabweans are looking at this whole issue around war veterans, around ZANU-PF, as an internal ruling party issue, which is similar to what has happened before, where war veterans had a disagreement with Robert Mugabe, the late former president, and his wife, and there was high levels of factionalism, and that this is just almost like a repeat of that minus popular support. I don't think there's a national pulse around what the war veterans are doing. Instead, what I see is probably a curiosity, a public curiosity as to what happens next and who does what, and an assumption that it will be a repeat of what happened in 2017, which is highly unlikely, because if the debate is just about 2030 or an extension of the current president Mnangagwa's term, it's essentially an internal ZANU-PF matter.
Right. But when we watch the clip from this war veteran, Mr. Geza, we also noticed he talked about things to do with corruption. He talked about things to do with nepotism in the government. Are these allegations true?
Well, they're allegations. Allegations have to be proven in a court of law. There are some cases relating to corruption that are currently before our courts in Zimbabwe, but there are rarely as many convictions as there is public debate about allegations of corruption. So it's part of the conversation and the narrative around reasons why the current president cannot or should not extend his term of office. But essentially, again, it is part of popular narratives that has always characterized Zimbabwean politics around corruption. There's no sense of immediate urgency to it in order to enable some political action before the next scheduled election in 2028.
Just looking at the situation in Zimbabwe, because when you speak to many Zimbabweans right now, they're so unhappy with the situation. They're talking of corruption. Now, putting aside the war veteran, also many challenges, healthcare system, a lot of things in Zimbabwe not operating as well as Zimbabweans would have expected. But do you think that anti-government protests could be a solution or justified?
Well, Zimbabweans all have a right, a constitutional right to express themselves or to lawfully and peacefully demonstrate, or to use your term, protest.
Mm-hmm.
The justification of it, I guess, is really up to them. And there is no trajectory, at least historically, of any protests fundamentally changing the Zimbabwean government or removing a government in Zimbabwe. No, there's no history of that in Zimbabwe, at least not, no. In fact, there is no history of that at all. And normally Zimbabweans have been more keen on an electoral process, though sometimes they indicate they don't trust it. But essentially, Zimbabwe has become accustomed to seeking political change via electoral methods. And even after the 2017 coup, not a coup, or the removal of former President Mugabe, the ultimate result was some sort of constitutionalism. The ruling ZANU-PF party and the then parliament had to sort of like undertake certain procedures in order to allow a succession to the presidency. And within the year, elections were held as scheduled. So protests in Zimbabwe are essentially probably part of free expression, but they're not game changers to the extent that they remove governments. No, I don't think so.
All right, right. Now, Columbus, to come back to you, the reaction so far from Zimbabweans, in your opinion, or there's a few Zimbabweans maybe you've spoken to, are they ready for protesting?
I think it's a mixed bag. Some people are saying they are ready for the protests, citing the situation in hospitals and also deteriorating economy. But if you talk to people in ZANU-PF, they are saying there's no need for protests. They're saying they have a listening president. If people have issues that they want addressed, they should talk to the president and he can look at the issues that the adage goes, only time will tell what happens when the day comes.
Mm. And has the government responded to this address by this war veteran, Mr. Geza? Has government given any official statement?
Yes, I talked to the Minister of Information. They said he's self-serving, he's not representative of Zimbabweans, is not representative of war veterans. They're saying it's just someone who is a fugitive, as they said, and who's trying to be relevant by incorporating other people into his elements of criminality.
All right. Now, Takura, just to come back to you, Zimbabwean government has also recently ordered vendors off the streets. Could that be linked to the planned protests?
No, I mean, yeah, by coincidence, but this has been a long-standing issue between vendors, the local government, the Harare City Council, in fact, most local governments, particularly urban local governments of the major cities, and also the central ministry of local governments. They've always been trying to relocate vendors and try and get them to new locations. In fact, in Harare itself, there are a number of infrastructural projects where vendors were trying to be moved from either their most popular spots or new flea markets were built, but they're not as populated as the old ones. So this is long-standing. But yeah, by coincidence, of course, vendors have a certain amount of fluidity in the city. But the official position that I am aware of is for health reasons and also for the cleanliness or safety of the major CBDs as they are, but with the main focus, of course, on Harare itself.
And let's talk about clamping down on journalists. We understand one journalist is actually right now in remand prison, Blessed Mutlanga, after he interviewed this war veteran, Blessed Geza. Also, I think another interview he did on a bank in Zimbabwe. What have you got to say about this, Takura, as an analyst?
Well, since the matter is before the courts, there's not much to say because it's, again, sub judice. But the whole issue around freedom of expression is still a big issue in Zimbabwe, and the rights of journalists as well as their professional protection is a very important and outstanding matter in Zimbabwe. And various media stakeholders have actually issued statements saying that this is wrong and it's undemocratic. And one would tend to agree with that 100%, because journalists should not be arrested for doing their jobs and they should not be criminalized for doing their jobs. But again, it's a matter that's before the courts of law, and we wait to hear the outcome. But it's a general trend that journalists also now have to function more with greater caution within the ambit of ZANU-PF factionalism and succession politics, because again and again, the multiplicity of factions as well as the influential role that people with wealth play around how journalists can operate in Zimbabwe is coming more and more into perspective. And therefore, it is a serious matter and a serious concern that the safety and security and ability to work normally and freely for journalists is definitely under threat.
And how significant is the role of war veterans in Zimbabwe's political landscape, Takura?
War veterans are part of the national thread and narrative dating back to the liberation struggle. They're intrinsic to particularly ZANU-PF politics. And their importance is largely within the ruling ZANU-PF party itself. But there is a public acceptance of that importance because they play a key role in succession politics in ZANU-PF dynamics. And they were also key players in the fast-track land reform program that began in 2000. And also key players in keeping the opposition at bay, and not necessarily in a democratic way, as you are aware of the recognized incidences of political violence between 2006 through to the government of national unity, and people alleging that the war veterans played a key role in some of the instances of political violence. So the war veterans are essentially intrinsic to Zimbabwe's politics at the moment, but in particular, with an emphasis on ZANU-PF succession politics.
Right, right. Now, Columbus, just to come back to you, let's talk about the power of social media in terms of these planned protests. We see a lot of discussions there, of course, mixed reactions. But what could dampen the protesting mood, in your opinion?
I think it's to do with the economy. Our economy is largely informal. So if I'm to leave my place of selling tomatoes and go and demonstrate, and then what after that? So that means I might lose my income. So that's number one, to do with the informal economy. And also the way the police will intimidate or is intimidating people, their reaction, high heavy-handedness, which they've been in the past. Should they do that again? I'm sure the protests will not be successful at all.
Now, Takura, just also to talk about the geopolitical implications. We know even the president of Zimbabwe is right now the also SADC chair. But do you see any implications such as influence from external powers in terms of the situation in the country, powers like China, the US or South Africa?
Well, the geopolitical situation is not the same as it would have been in 2023. I mean, for example, the United States has a new government and there are new dynamics around its international relations and foreign policy, as well as foreign aid policy. So Zimbabwe is not necessarily a country that figures high on American or even Western countries' radars. Closer to home with SADC, yes, there is always an interest in what Zimbabwe does, and not only because Zimbabwe is currently the SADC chairperson, but also because in general, Zimbabwe's politics are viewed with a lot of interest by Southern African countries as well as African countries because of the fast-track land reform program and how it occurred and how the West has reacted to it. But within the immediate politics of Zimbabwe, there will be no major intervention by SADC, not only because we are currently chairing SADC, but because there is actually no big reason to. Normally, SADC intervenes when there is an election or a dispute of an election, as was the case recently in Mozambique and in Namibia. But even then, they wait for internal domestic processes to occur. In Zimbabwe's case, we do not have an election until 2028, at least a national and general one. And all the SADC reports have not indicated any further action on Zimbabwe. So, like I said earlier, if SADC has any interest in what's going on in Zimbabwe, or even if the African Union has any interest, it will not be sort of like major, and it will just more or less be waiting to hear what the Zimbabwean government says or what happens within the ruling ZANU-PF party. So there's no major geopolitical issue with Zimbabwe at the moment. Maybe with South Africa and its relations with the United States and how SADC might respond to that. That is the only major geopolitical issue and interest within the SADC region at the moment, and also the Eastern DRC conflict, which is turning out to be much more complicated than assumed. But Zimbabwe is not high up on the radar.
Hmm. Let's come back home, to Zimbabwe. Talking about the opposition, we also noticed, or rather heard, that the war veteran Blessed Geza also mentioned alliance with some opposition parties like the CCC, maybe MDC, trying to align with or capitalize on these protests. What do you make of this, Takura?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, or point of view, that the war veteran faction will try and lure the opposition, and understandably so, because this was done again in 2017 when Mugabe was actually then made to resign. But again, I don't think the opposition is strong enough to be a serious ally to whatever faction of the war veterans that is trying to change the parameters of the ZANU-PF, current ZANU-PF government, and also that is trying to mobilize the people, because the opposition at the moment is too weak and too divided to make an impact, and particularly an impact which relates to either protests or mass action. The opposition has too many factions to provide a united front. In fact, if anything, it would be the war veterans factions themselves that would be the ones that would attempt to unite the opposition factions as in their current format. So the opposition basically would probably be best advised to stay out of ZANU-PF internal politics, because the last time they did that, when Mugabe was ousted, they still had too many complaints, and there was no government of national unity that was formed in 2018, and none that was formed again in 2023 when we held elections in that time frame. So the opposition would be best advised to reorganize itself and not get too involved in ZANU-PF internal factional dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Just talking about these factional dynamics, Takura, and the war veterans, there's a comment we saw on social media, and it's quite interesting, that most probably it is all because the president or the government has just sidelined these war veterans, or maybe they are not getting money as much as they would want, and that's the only reason they are now like coming out to talk about all these things. If they were part of allegedly the looting and all the corruption that is happening, they wouldn't have come out to say this. This was a comment that was put on X. But as someone who's on ground and as an analyst, do you think this could be true?
When you interact with some war veterans, yes, there is debate about, who was a nationalist, who was a nationalist and a soldier, and then who was a soldier, like a proper combatant, and then who was a detainee during the liberation struggle, and who was a refugee. And there's some sort of informal succession plan within Zimbabwe's ruling party, where war veterans recognize leadership at various stages of the liberation struggle and their roles. And yes, there is a definite assumption about an our turn to eat sort of narrative, that we should also be part of the bandwagon, not necessarily to loot, but also to also lead. And if you look at it, the way the ZANU-PF leadership is sort of structured, you can tell that, you've got, by age and by experience and by roles in the liberation struggle, you've got almost like variegated roles and responsibilities where you look at the presidents, the vice presidents, and then you look at the key ministers, and you juxtapose that with their role in the liberation struggle, you can tell that there's that informal understanding of who should succeed who. The question is when people should succeed each other based on their roles in the liberation struggle in order to lead. I wouldn't say to be part of a bandwagon because that would be too speculative. And I didn't see the social media post, but there is that narrative, at least on social media and in the public domain, that, you know, people want to replace each other in order to get closer to wealth acquisition or to just exercise power for their own interests and its own sake. There is that narrative.
Right. Now, Columbus, as we wrap up the discussion, as your parting statement, how do younger Zimbabweans perceive the role of war veterans in the country's future?
I think it's diminishing. Their roles are diminishing, and that they are mainly seen as people who are there to loot, because they've been demanding money for payment, on, and they think they own the country. That's another perspective. But to others, I think it's people who brought the liberation. Is their liberation? Now, that's another story for another day. So that's my take.
Mm-hmm. And Takura, we're wrapping up our discussion just to talk about the vice president. The war veteran actually addressed this in alliance or in support of the vice president. Has he come out to say anything? Has he responded to this? And is there any indication that the military is actually divided on how to handle this matter or the protests?
No, there's been no formal communication about a response to any of these factional questions within ZANU-PF or within the war veterans themselves, their associations and their leaders. But yes, there is an evident support for preventing a term extension for the current president, and it's being voiced by the likes of Gezai himself. And we can only assume he has some support from somewhere, but the military has not indicated any support for that. And no one, at least at a senior level within the ruling ZANU-PF party, has said anything else about that. And like I said, it's essentially not a national question, strictly speaking. It is an internal ZANU-PF factional question. And the Zimbabwean public is sort of like watching as if they were watching, and I hate to say this, as if they were watching a movie to see what happens next and what actors pop up. But essentially, like in 2017, it is largely an internal ZANU-PF succession question based on a slogan about 2030, a term extension until 2030 of the current president, but without taking into account the fact that there is an election in 2028. And there are congresses of the ruling party in between, or any other opposition parties in between, that would then select candidates for an election in 2028. And that should actually be the focus, because technically and constitutionally, the only game in town is the 2028 election.
DW's Columbus Mavunga in Harare, and political analyst and researcher Takura Jagaja, many thanks for joining us. Anti-government protests can quickly escalate into violence, especially when underlying economic and political tensions converge. For example, during the Nigeria cost of living protests, what began as a reaction to rising prices and economic hardship spiraled into violent clashes between demonstrators and security forces, resulting in numerous casualties and widespread property damage. This incident underscores the inherent risks of such protests, where inadequate dialogue and harsh responses can transform legitimate dissent into a catalyst for instability and long-term societal divisions. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.